Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
Alrighty, folks, we are back. It is an ITM short, the second one that we have done. That's Joey Capone. I'm Steve Perrault. The Red Sox are red hot. They've won 6 games in a row, Joey. They're absolutely crushing everybody. Have beaten their opponents by a combined amount of 32 runs over the last 6 games. That's very good for those keeping track at home. Huge night tonight for basically everybody. I mean, Trevor Story, it's funny, like, you know somebody's buzzing, Joey, when you look up the stats, you know they're right, and you're still like, those can't be right.
Are you talking about his ribs, like, this past week?
Is your mic on?
Is it not?
Oh, no, you're good now. Okay. It wasn't coming through early on. All right.
Are you talking about his RBIs?
His RBIs.
Yeah, he has 17 since Thursday.
What?
And that's in what, 5 games?
He has 17 RBIs in 4 games, right?
Five games. They had Monday off. Yeah.
That's the thing, Joey. It's like,
so he's averaging over 3 RBIs a game. Yeah.
You know the stats right, and it's still like, that can't be right. Trevor Story has 17 RBIs since Thursday. We're recording this on the Tuesday after the Thursday.
I love saying since Thursday because it sounds like just from the other day, not like since the beginning of this series. I know. It's nuts. It's insane. It almost felt comical, like this home run, the one that happened in game one of this series. Like when I saw him make solid contact, I was like, no way.
I know.
This is not happening. There's no way. He's making up for lost time right now, dude.
He is. No, he really is. But this was I got to be honest, Joey, it was like a stand up off the couch homer. I was saying what you were saying. I'm like, no way. And just like walking close to the TV, like that's going to get the ball out. Like you're like walking the ball out of the park.
Chauffeuring it. Yeah.
Genuinely could not believe what I was seeing. Trevor Story is driven in 17 runs over his last 5 games. That is the most by any hitter over a 5 game stretch in 9 years. Can you guess who it was? This is from Alex Speer, by the way. Can you guess who the player was? I will give you a whole pizza of your choice. This was in 2013.
Okay, I was going to say 9 years ago is 2013.
I got to double check what team this guy was on. Because, Joey, let me tell you, I think of the 2000s when I think of this guy, not the 2010s.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, I was going to say Pujols, but both of those caveats took that away. 2013.
Former Yankee.
Odor.
It was a second baseman, though. It was Alfonso Soriano.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
Sneaky was one of my favorite players growing up. I didn't tell anybody that because it was not a cool thing to tell people before the Red Sox broke the curse. It's like, what? You like a Yankee? You're crazy. But Alfonso had the sweet swing, man, the long follow through. But yeah, he was the last guy. He had 18 runs driven in a 5-game span in 2013. But Trevor Story's on fire. You know, not much we can add outside of he's just crushing literally everything. And then he you know, just to stay in shape, had 4Ks tonight, too. He's like, you know what? He's trying to cool himself off a little bit. He's like, I can't be literally the greatest player of all time. I got to be just great.
It's nuts how I just did not notice that. Like, I just didn't notice it at all. I can think of one of them because, like, there was that whole weird thing where the umps stopped counting strikes and balls.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, dude, we don't know the count. The broadcast doesn't know the count. Nezen just decided to take down the score bug. They were like, whatever. Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, you were saying it before we started recording, but when the score is 16-2 in the fifth inning, the rest of the game is just like, nobody get hurt. Let's just get this over with, right? Like, and you still, those ABs matter. When you look at the guy's stats at the end of the year, it's not like there's an asterisk next to the, you know, second half of the 16-2 game ABs. Those count the same as the ones in a 1-1 game in the eighth inning. So I get it, but it also is a little tricky when you're trying, but your foot's off the gas a little bit. And when the foot's off the pedal, it's a little hard to then just turn it on and like get a triple. So
yeah, it's the only game where that becomes dicey because you can run up the clock. I mean, I guess basketball, like you got to throw up a shot in 24 seconds or whatever.
You gotta throw up in basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to vomit if you don't get a shot off in time. I always thought that rule was a little gross.
Yeah. It's a little nasty.
Yeah. But that's the way it goes. And that's why baseball is the beautiful game.
The beautiful game. That was a great tweet today. So one thing I wanted to mention real quick, and this is going to be very fast here. We are going to get to voicemails. Today's ITM short is voicemails. The strike zone is not on the broadcast anymore, Joey.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I found out why from an extremely reliable source that may or may not work for the company that broadcasts the games.
Okay.
And there's a legitimate reason, and I'm not going to complain about it anymore, but it has taken some time to get used to. Mm-hmm. And I used to complain. I just like complaining. I used to complain back when they... back when they added the strike zone, I was like, I don't know if I want this thing full time.
And then they took it away and now you're like.
And now they take it away and I'm like, where's my strike zone? I miss my strike zone. So
don't know what you got till it's gone, dude.
Exactly. At least on the replays you have it, which is nice. Some people had theorized that it's because of the Plawecki call or some close calls and MLB told them to take. No, that's not what happened. But is what it is. I'm getting used to it. And
wait. So did your source tell you that it's staying this way?
Likely.
That's kind of bogus. I'm not a huge fan of that, I'll be honest with you.
It's likely staying this way, but I got to say, it doesn't change too much. Like, I try to just watch the game and not be pissy about the strike zone thing, and Pivetta had a nasty curveball that Grandal was complaining about. I'm like, dude, that was the easiest strike of all time. Then they showed in the replay with the strikes, and it was a guaranteed strike. So we still have a good feel of where these balls are ending up in the zone, but in or out. But that is what it is. So
it's I that's going to take some adjusting. I'll tell you that. That'll take a little bit of adjusting, but
it will. It will. But we all. What are you going to do? We'll do it together.
What are you going to do? I guess you know.
We'll all do it together. Nick Pivetta, another good start. I mean, this guy has become extremely reliable. He has had five or six straight starts now where he's dealing. Obviously, this isn't a complete game, but I honestly thought.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Did you think there was a shot
after five? Right? It's like it's at this point. Oh, you're saying to actually go?
Did you think? Yeah. I mean, he had 60 through five, and I was like, why not let him go? Save the bullpen. Like, let's.
Yeah, I'm always of the belief of like, you know, make sure you're not wearing your starter down in a 14 run game. I think I'd rather do that.
Right?
But
yeah.
I hear you. Yeah.
But he's also he's not a guy who throws, you know, 99. I don't know.
He's throwing a filthy curveball, and it's not like he's wearing out his arm with his fastball. I got what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But a great outing by Pivetta. That was very good to see, uplifting to see. He's a guy. I've always been a Nicky Smooches fan, and you know the postseason last year only enhanced that. Obviously a tough start to the season, but if he can be a pillar, man, if he can be a big part of this rotation, watch out, because I know we keep saying, wait, Sale's going to come back. You don't know what Sale you're going to get, but Walk has been really good. Rich Hill's been reliable. The Whitlock thing is what it is. I'd still want him in the bullpen, but Red Sox overall are just playing great ball, and this is the team we expected. It's not quite how I thought this team was going to get to 20 and 22, but the fact that they're here now, Joey, not complaining. Happy with what we're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, dude. I mean, you can't be upset about how things have been when things look so bright. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
Because there was a little piece of me that was like, oh, like, where's this been, boys? And then I was like, what am I thinking? Like, get that out of here. Like, everybody is on. Kike's turning things on. Stories like the literal AL player of the week. So those worries are just kind of fading away. Things just feel good right now, man. I was accepting before today that I was like, hey, you know, we got a win streak going. It's the first one of the year, and we're going on the road. So if that comes to an end tonight, that's okay. Like, that doesn't slow down the momentum.
Yeah.
16-3? 16-3, dude. Absolutely not on my bingo card.
No, did not expect that. If you look at the Red Sox box score from tonight, it looks like the Matrix font with all the numbers trickling down. There are just numbers all over the place that are not zeros. Every single starter had at least a hit, and seven of them had multiple hits. It's insane. Kike, two hits. Devers, two hits. JD Martinez, 4-for-5. He's hitting .366. Average means absolutely nothing, but he's hitting .366. Over 1,000 OPS, Joey, on the season. Are you kidding me? Might be the slowest guy in history to have over 1,000 OPS. Dude, that's one thing I wanted to touch up on real quick. He's got to be the slowest dude out there that I've seen.
I want to
like
talk
one of the Molina brothers, dude.
We got to talk to AC and work you and I into like a $5 contract and just to pinch run for JD. It's an improvement. If it's like the ninth inning, JD's on second, I think you and I got a better shot at getting home on a single, dude.
Well, what inning was it? Like, Xander hit the ball down the line, and I'm like, oh, easily scoring.
Yeah, he's scoring. Like, no. And it's like, no, dude, he's not at third yet. He hasn't rounded third, and he doesn't really look like he's trying for home either. That's the thing is, like, I almost want to, like, get JD on here and be like, are you trying when you run? Look me in the eyes.
He doesn't like running. You can tell it's painful. Franchi had the sack fly, and JD scores. I'll give him credit for that. But just up and getting to the dugout is like,
dude, JD sliding is the most unnatural thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, the JD Martinez transition from the plate after a slide to the dugout is kind of like your dad getting out of the Lazy Boy and like getting to the kitchen. It's like, there's a lot of grunts and like kind of walking over, bent over. It's like, okay. I did do a poll after I saw JD wasn't even close to third base. I was like, we got to do a poll here. Who wins in a race, JD Martinez or Charles Barkley? And we had over 1,000 votes, 66% JD Martinez. So Red Sox fans do believe in JD in that race. Charles is very slow, so I get it. But I think it would be close, Joey. I think that would be a close race.
I'm not familiar with Charles Barkley beyond his commentary work and that
just look at him. Take a guess.
Right. I don't know his 40 times, Steve, so how can I possibly weigh in on this?
I don't either. great win tonight. Great win tonight. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add outside of the fact that the Sox are as hot as they've been in a long time, and it's an absolute joy to watch. There were people who gave up on the Red Sox in early May. What dumbos.
See ya.
That's all I got to say.
See ya. Adios. Do you want to get to some of these voicemails? Some people got some things they want to say.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Hey, fellas. It's Colby. I haven't watched the Sox game since last Tuesday. It was that Astros game where Nate just didn't do too hot. I've been a little busy the last couple days. The question is, will I ever be allowed to watch a Red Sox game again? Because at this rate, I don't think I'm allowed to. Let me know what you think. Thanks.
So that was who I thought it was, right? That was Colby?
That was Colby. And I don't know if you or I have the authority to bestow upon somebody a ban from watching the Red Sox, but if there was ever one I wanted to flirt with a little bit, Colby. I think if you're going to start watching again, Colby, which I would say, I'm going to speak for the both of us here and say you can watch the Boston Red Sox. You can do that. Change something up, though. Change something up. And if we'll reconvene at the end of this series, watch these next two games. We'll reconvene at the end of this series. Depending on how things turn out, we might need to have a longer conversation, though.
Just want to say real quick to Colby, who obviously has not watched the Red Sox since that Evaldi tough start. Colby, just an update here in the game since then. Red Sox win 5-1. Red Sox win 12-6. Red Sox win 7-3. Red Sox win 6-5. Red Sox win 8-4. Red Sox win 16-3. So that's the update, Colby. And I would say,
yeah,
maybe don't watch. I don't know, Joey.
I think we give them the rest of the series. Give them the next two games. If the unthinkable happens, we sit Colby down. We have a conversation. But I'm willing to give him these next two.
But by give him these next two, that would mean that he's now watching when he wasn't watching. I would say don't let him watch the next two. And if they lose one, I'm kind of with you. It's just a little bit of a tweak.
Right,
like,
okay,
don't watch the next two in Chicago.
Yeah.
And if they lose one of them, you can go back to watch.
You can come back. Okay.
Is that fair?
What a beautiful poetic little thing that we've discovered here. If you want the Red Sox to win, you cannot watch them. If you love something, set it free.
Exactly.
How beautiful.
Yeah. Next voicemail.
Next voicemail. Let's see, which one do we want to do here? This is one.
Here's a story of a man named Trevor.
That's it. Brady Bunch.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. Brady Bunch. Remember the Brady Bunch?
Nope, I do. I used to watch the Brady Bunch. Did you watch the Brady Bunch?
Me too. Nick at Night. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were too young for Nick at Night. You were watching Nick at Night?
Oh, I loved Nick at Night, dude. I was a big, big Brady Bunch guy, big Leave It to Beaver guy. Yeah, I loved the old stuff.
There's probably people listening right now that don't even know what the Brady Bunch was.
There are people listening to us who like definitely think that we're 85 years old sitting here talking about the Brady Bunch and I Love Lucy.
Dude, I Love Lucy was one of my favorite shows. I Love Lucy
kind of kicked ass, to be honest with you.
It really kicked ass. Especially when it's also Nickelodeon. Like, you got your Rugrats, you got a little Hey Arnold, you got some SpongeBob, some Cat Dog, some Ren and Stimpy, Rocket Power.
Yep.
And then at night, you would get reruns of I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
If you were able to stay up late enough. I mean, that's a day if you had a good snack, too.
In all honesty, dude, this isn't even a joke. I bought the Turner Classic Movies channel, and I pay for that on my cable monthly just because it's like what I fall asleep to. Because I'm just so used to hearing like old-timey TV when I fall asleep. It's like the only thing I can fall asleep to now.
One thing real quick.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I learned about Joey on our spring training trip, because we stayed in the same room because we're company men and we wanted the trip to cost less.
Yep.
He falls asleep to like shows. Yeah. And I don't understand the concept of that. I'm not even bashing it. I more of just never heard of that being a thing before. Like people falling asleep to shows like by accident, I get, but as a planned thing, I don't really understand it.
Okay, let me try to explain it real quick here. It's like if there's nothing and it's like dead silence, like the old noggin here just starts running. And then, you know, I look up and it's 2:30 a.m. and I'm trying to think about like what I would do if I was my local congressman, you know? And that's not a problem that needs to be solved tonight, Joe. It's time to go to bed. So like if you just put on, you know, season 4 of Leave It to Beaver, you can just kind of, your brain's just kind of focused on that in the background until you drift off into nothingness, and then you can dream about being a congressman.
Exactly. But have you ever thought of like a white noise machine? I've been using that for like a decade.
I don't know.
It's been great because I had the same issue as you. I was like, it's dead silent, I can't just go to sleep. Like I'm so thinking about like a botched double play from Little League. Like I can't go to bed right now.
Like everyone laughed at me after that.
I know, I fell over on second, but anyway,
all right.
Hey, Steve, I don't really care about Joey, but I love you, Steve.
What? Was that it?
That's all I'm going to play of it. I just thought that was funny.
That wasn't nice. Come on now.
No, but it was funny. here we go. Let's talk a little bit about the team here. This is one about the team and about personnel movement and whatnot.
Okay.
Hey guys, Ethan from Pembroke. Big fan of the show. Just wanted to ask, what do you guys think about Jaren Duran getting called up from Worcester? A lot of people on Twitter have been kind of asking about it, but the only people I can think that make room for him on the roster are either Christian Arroyo, who I like, and Bobby Dalbec, who I like. But I also want to see Duran up here. So just want to know what you think about calling him up and kind of giving him a run at the major league, since he seems like he's doing well in AAA, and just where he kind of fits. Thanks, guys.
All right, Ethan. Thank you, Ethan, for the call.
Ethan, I hear you, man. I think we all want Jaren to get a chance at his age. Not saying he's so old, so obviously we want him to get a try. But Jaren is one of those players that kind of got screwed by the COVID year, you know, where he wasn't able to develop at all, really play in any way, shape, or form. And now he's kind of been in no man's land. He comes up, excuse me, as I die, he comes up last year and has some ups, has some downs, mainly downs. Obviously, you understand the speed is there. You want to get the average up. You want to get the on base up. When he's on base, he's an incredible human to watch. And the stuff that he can do on the base, in between the bases, is incredible. I was stunned at how quick he got to third on what was called a triple, even though it probably should have been a single and an error when he was playing in that one game when Kike was out. But yeah, I think it's, you got to give him a shot and see what he has and give him a chance to prove himself, or else you're kind of screwing yourself over, Joey, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you don't do that, then it's also hard to prove to other teams that he could potentially get a better chance on as well if you're going to deal him. So he was 3-for-4 tonight, with a triple and two doubles for the Woo Sox. So he's been really crushing it down there. He's trying to be, he can't be the new Ruzne because he's not going to be there long enough. So that's tough. That's off the table. He can't be the wonder of Worcester. But I saw one Chris Smith say, this kid needs an extended opportunity in the big leagues ASAP. That's the same Chris Smith that called me out on Twitter for the 845 tip in the Eastern Conference Finals and had a whole bit about that, which was hilarious. But yeah, I think Duran has to get a chance, and however you do that, whoever you send down, I'm not quite sure what the move would be, but you owe it to him and you owe it to yourself to see what he can do in 2022.
Right. I think everybody wants to see it. Everybody's interested in giving him a shot, especially because when he did come up for a second, he, you know, made a splash a little bit. The thing about where to put him, though, is it's either Arroyo, who's a utility guy, like that's kind of where Jaren would fit, but Christian's like not in a place where like he deserves to be sent down. Like he saw one pitch in the last series and he crushed it over the monster. Like Christian's doing his job, so like there's no need to send him down. And the other option, like you said, is Bob. And I don't know if Jaren has any time at first base.
No, imagine Jaren Duran at first base.
No, so I can't. And
that would not work. No,
it's a weird image. So I don't necessarily know how you get him up here, especially because Alex was talking about my buddy Alex Cora was talking about getting JD some reps in the outfield. So you really don't need another outfield.
The position's tough.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, if you send Bob down, have Franchi as the full-time first baseman and then get Duran some games in the outfield. But at its core, Joey, the Red Sox are normally good and they normally have pillars at different spots of the field that are obviously not going anywhere. So it becomes a numbers game of where are you going to fit this guy? And that's kind of been the issue this year with Jaren. So hopefully he can get a chance. You never want injury, obviously, but if that's how he gets an opportunity, that's another potential way that he gets up here, but we'll see.
Yeah. Rooting for Jaren. Wicked. Nice guy. We hung out with Jaren a little bit down in spring training.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Definitely wants his shot. Wants to get up here and prove that he can do it.
Yeah, had a good convo with him the day he was up at Fenway. So he's good dude, and yeah, you want him to get a chance. So yeah, we'll see.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Next voicemail.
Hi there. Garrett D. Cole here, and I'm telling you, I'm pretty pissed off after the Orioles. They got me real good yesterday, and now the Red Sox are officially back. If I'm seeing this correctly, it's 10-2, and we're about to lose another game, and I just don't know. But the fans, they're losing it. The Red Sox, they're back, and I'm pissed. Miss Piggy, she's all over my ass.
I have no idea what I just listened to, so that's my response. Joey, what do you got?
It was a Kermit Garrett Cole thing. I think you missed the beginning. I saw you had a little cough thing going on there. He said, Garrett the Cole here.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, the Sox are back.
That was something.
The Yankees.
They had a walk-off. I know they have a tough time with the Orioles, man. My goodness.
Yeah, that's silly. Can we just talk just really quick? Maybe I'm missing something, Steven. You can actually fill me in. The power rankings came out, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah,
maybe today of like from MLB,
typically on Mondays. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Yankees were number one, and they had just dropped three of their last four, one of those being to the Orioles.
Yeah.
And two the prior day, like two in a doubleheader. Like, am I missing something there? Is that just some tire pumping? Is that over? What is that?
Power rankings are tough, man. I know when I was at BR, we'd do them and they'd get critiqued like you read about every single time. So the Yankees are the only team in Major League Baseball with 30 wins. So, I mean, they still lead all of majors in wins, and they had been buzzing. I think it's how you weigh the overall week instead of just the previous couple games. But, I mean, if we're basing it off the last four games, the Yankees are one of the worst teams in the league. So I think if we want to go off,
I don't
know.
I just don't think of power rankings as like, I don't know. I just don't think of them as like, well, these are the best teams.
Joey, here's the tough part. I think everyone has a different impression of what power rankings should be. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but that also kind of helps the power rankings, because then people want to see it and use their logic for it. And then they're talking about it and tweeting about it. And that's why power rankings exists, because it gets the people going. So,
I
think it's more that
pretty far behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's so, the game. And now you know it.
Yeah. That's
now you know the man behind the curtain. And
yeah, there you go. Bada bing.
So this is a voicemail. This was our 1, 2, 3, 4th voicemail from this person. They tried a couple of times to leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with their last one. They do reference their other voicemails a couple times. So know that that's why.
Is this the last voicemail?
This is going to be the last voicemail.
Last voicemail. All right.
Brought to you by voicemails.
Voicemail line.
Hey, sorry. I'm kind of flooding the voicemails here, but I have a good one. Are you guys a fan of doubleheaders? And I'm not going to complicate the question like I have the past few voicemails I've left. Hopefully I make the pod. But do you guys even like them? Like, I know one's coming up on Saturday. I don't know. Do we like doubleheaders is my simple question. All right. That's all I'm leaving tonight. Love you guys. All right. Bye.
Love you too.
Love you too.
We love you too.
Whoever that is.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't think this is a black or white for me.
What is it for you?
Not one of those. I don't know. It's
a green.
It's like,
what is it?
It's like puce.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got to be honest. I don't know what puce is. It sounds like a green, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. I thought you knew. I was kind of banking on you knowing
what that is. No. I've just heard it thrown around.
Your thoughts on doubleheaders, Joey?
It's a blue, man. It's a blue green.
Okay.
I don't know. It depends. It depends. This one, I can't say I'm like rearing to go a doubleheader in, against Baltimore. I mean, I'm down to keep the momentum going. And if that's what it means, I'm down for that. Down to just like keep some dubs rolling in. But it, I'll be honest with you. So my son's birthday party is on Saturday. So the first game of the doubleheader.
I feel like the real reason was coming out here. Now we got the real reason.
Yeah. But, so the first game, I'm going to kind of be like, you know, like checking game day, having it on my phone, going maybe have the radio playing in the background. But then I'll it's almost like an appetizer. And then later in the day, I get the full meal of being able to sit down and watch a whole game. So that's nice. I'm glad that it's not just a day game and then I have to just like go through the night without one. But in general, doubleheaders are it's weird. It always feels like there's going to be some personnel strategy that makes both games feel a little wonky, you know?
Yeah, there's obviously potential for the games to be funky, but I do love the idea of Red Sox baseball at Fenway Park on a Saturday from noon to 10 p.m. Kind of sort of sign me up, you know? I think it's great chance for content, great chance for who knows what's going to happen. You have a guy come up that, you know, you get what? You still get the added roster spot, right? If I'm not mistaken, for the old doubleheaders, I'm pretty sure you do. So
I do not know.
I think you do. So that would at least give a guy a chance that isn't normally up here or normally getting consistent at bats to have a big game, have a big moment. I like it. And you have the Orioles coming in for five games because of the, I don't want to say shortened schedule because you're still playing 162, the condensed days in the schedule. Mm-hmm. And Joey, I can't believe it, but the Boston Red Sox, who at one point in this month of May were 10-19, have a chance by the end of the month to be over 500. That is insane.
That is crazy. Steve, as of right now, hold on, let me check this because I don't want to be speaking at a turn here in class. I want to make sure that I have this number exactly correct. This one I saw earlier and I was like, wait, if they hold on to this lead and they win, which was a real question mark at the time. I was like, if they do this, this is going to be crazy. Yeah. The Boston Red Sox are a game and a half out of a playoff spot.
It's insane. Like it really is bananas. And is that for what? The wild card spot? Didn't the Jays win though? Didn't the Jays win? It's funny that I've been like closely following. It's 2.5. Yeah.
It's 2.5. Sorry, it's 2.5.
Yeah, geez. Erroneous information. But they are jumping teams, Joey. They they jumped the Guardians. So now they're behind the White Sox by a game. This is what this team does to us, by the way. It is May 25th, and we're like updating scores to see the wild card standings. But that's a lot of people that are listening right now, you're probably the exact same.
It's just a good sense of where the team is at. Because we were behind the Orioles. And now it's like, oh, okay, we're a game or two out of a playoff spot.
No, it is insane. I fully agree with you. I say insane. I say insane way too much. But Red Sox have 8 games left in May. If they go 6-2, they will be over 500 by the end of May. That is insane. There it is again. If they go 5-3.
I was going to say, that's insane.
If they go 5-3, Joey,
they
are going to enter June with a 500 record. That is insane.
That's insane.
Absolutely insane.
Here's a little update. So the Sox, as of this moment, Wednesday night, 20-22, right? Now that begs the question, Steve.
Wednesday night. It's Tuesday night, Joey.
It's Wednesday morning now.
There you go.
So sorry. Inside the Monster, late night.
This is late night. This is the latest we've recorded, I think.
Yep, big time. What do you think I'm about to say here after I said that they were 20-22?
What do you mean? What are you about to say? I have no idea.
The 1996 Boston Red Sox.
There you go.
17-25.
Okay.
So you're talking about being 3 games up on the 96 team right now. You're looking good if you're trying to get to where they got.
You know what I got to say, Joey? One thing about the 96 team here is that one thing that had me excited when they were 10-19 is that the 96 team still took a while to get going. And I was going to keep using that as an excuse for why the Sox weren't going. But then the Sox were like, you know what? We've had enough. We've had enough of all the criticism, all the negative articles, all the people on Twitter being like, hey, you suck. Story sucks. Time sucks. They had enough. And they've been playing better than any team in Major League Baseball over the last 2 weeks. And you just simply love to see that. It's great for us. It's great for business. It's great for the team. It's great for the fans that actually care and actually understand you can't call a season over in the month of May. Sox are buzzing, 20-22. Sweeps on the table, Joey. Take Wednesday, take Thursday. Let's head into a five-gamer with the Orioles. They could just be 500 there. You could enter this five-game series with the Baltimore Orioles and already be 500. That is crazy town, and I love it.
So the streak right now is six games? Six games. Realistically, squirt gun to your head.
If you gave me 100 guesses of the word, 1,000 guesses of the word, I would not have said squirt gun.
I don't know. I don't want to like scare you too much. I got you. But I want to give you the threat of like you might get wet.
Yep, that's fair.
How long does the streak go? What is the winning streak end at?
Let's see. Water balloon over my head. I would say
it's a lot of water. I said a squirt gun. Squirt gun's water.
I'm going to water balloon. I would say the streak. I don't like these. I don't like predicting how long a winning streak is going to go. So I'll preface with that. But
I'd have to wait before
I do that, Joey. And I know we're wrapping here. This is ITM late night. I want to remind myself of the matchups. You got Hill versus Giolito.
That's Giolito
is always good outside of that miserable season. Mm-hmm. And then you got Walker versus Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel, who's been terrible, even though he got a win against the Red Sox early in the month. Walker's got a 1.76. I still can't believe that.
But Keuchel is the one guy early in the season who gave up four earned to the Sox when the Sox offense was still sleeping.
Joey, my gut tells me it ends at six, but that they win the series. My gut tells me that they lose Wednesday, win Thursday, and then it could be crazy town over the weekend. You could take four out of five. You could maybe take five out of five. I was looking at the last time there was a five-game sweep. I think it's happened four or five times this century. It does not happen that often. So Sox realistically would have a chance of doing it. I don't think a sweep against anybody can ever be guaranteed, especially a five-gamer. But, Joey, if you win these next two games against Chicago and you come home with a 500 record, haters are so silenced at that point because you have a genuine chance to be holding a playoff spot early in June. And I don't think anyone would have said that when early in May they were 10-19.
No.
Myself included. I'm not counting myself out of that. Like that's nuts.
Fair. I think it would be pretty tight to go six. Quick little pause. Six again.
I like that.
Like take that last
six,
game.
Six, drop one, win six. I like that.
Yeah, I mean,
the Reds are after the Orioles. Gotta remember
that's
that.
True. Yeah. And the Hill Giolito matchup is a little meh, makes you go, I don't know. But if the offense comes out with half of what they did today, literally half of what they did today, you're talking about a 6 or 7 run game. Like I like that. So I don't want to just say like, well, pitching matchup's tough, so we're out. I for sure, like, see the Sox having more than a good chance if the offense is anything remotely similar to how it was on Tuesday night.
Fully agree. Red Sox, after this White Sox series, have 10 games against last place teams.
Wow.
Before taking on the LA Angels in Anaheim.
Who's after the Reds?
The Oakland A's.
Oh, nice. We got Orioles, Reds, A's.
I like how he said the Oakland A's. Like I could have just said A's. It's the Oakland Athletics Baseball Club that they play after the Cincinnati Reds Ball Club.
The Red Stockings. Yeah.
The Red Stockings. Yes. But that'll do it, Joey. That'll do it for ITM Short Part 2. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Go Sox. I guess.
After like jumping through the brain, I got ghost socks, man.
God, I got something. What do I got out there? I know. Yeah, flipping through the file cabinet.
I got one thing real quick.
Yeah.
Brian Bayo, brother, struck out 10 for the second time in his many starts after being promoted to AAA. He is the only AAA pitcher with multiple 10K games.
Holy cow.
And he's only had multiple games. He's had two starts. Brian Bayo, absolute stud. Can't wait to talk about him more on this year program as the year goes on. That'll do it for ITM Short Part 2. We will be back after this Red Sox-White Sox series. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralta. Go Sox, kid. Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Peralta. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.